Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. 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 Do I have everybody's attention now? Burn it
down! This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Finally!
Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, Philly's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn-deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hotel!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my
Welcome, everyone, to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. It feels like it's been forever, pal. The Rumble was only a week ago.
Oh!
Right? But, yeah, we're back here on the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Scotty Villa and Monday Night Mike. And that's it.
UK Tom says, hola, bitches. Fuck you all. That is a direct quote for UK Tom on a very, very special episode. Scotty Villa.
Yeah.
Can you believe this is episode 100? That's right. It is episode 100 of the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
I got to admit, dude, every time we post a podcast, and you do a great job posting it every week,
hey,
by the way.
Yeah.
I see it like episode whatever. I type it out on all the socials every time I'm promoting the show, but it never really clicked. It was like, oh, actually, it's actually episode 100. This is the 100th episode.
That's right.
Coming up, kind of thing, right? But yeah, this is episode 100, and it's been a hell of a ride, pal. It's been real fun.
It's been a lot. You know what? A lot of change has happened over the course of the 100 episodes.
Yeah.
From new jobs, lost and found loves.
Yep. New hairdos.
Name changes.
Yeah. You've had more name changes than hairdos, brother.
Yeah. And the addition of a third host. A lot has happened in 100 episodes, and it has been a blast. But we thank you, the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast, faithful, for sticking with us in all of our shenanigans. I know I don't stand by UK Tom's sentiment of saying, fuck you all. That's his words. Not my words, although I have said it too. Direct listeners before.
I think you said it last week.
Yeah, so. But that's what you're getting here, and we're very excited to continue talking pro wrestling.
Yeah, and I think we got some cool stuff that we've been kind of planting seeds within the group chat about what we want to do throughout this next year. Getting those listeners up is probably the biggest priority. Sharing and listening and downloading, subscribing, doing all that stuff for us helps us out so much. We can do a lot more cool shit if that continues. So thank you for all those that have done it and continue to do it. And for all the people that haven't been with us for a good chunk of the journey, we're not leaving you out either. We've definitely got some faithfuls from day one in the early days, but there's been a lot more that have been joining the ride the last, I'd say, 20 to 30 episodes. And we thank you guys for sticking with us as well. We've done a great job of getting the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, all the other genres out there.
Everywhere.
It really, really is. And it means a lot to us that you guys stick with us and interact with us and do all the fun stuff that we need you to do to keep this show growing and doing more cool shit. I feel bad. I'm not gonna lie, guys. I feel real bad. It is what episode 100.
Oh, he feels bad.
We probably should do some cool shit and talk about our favorite memories, this and that. But it never really hit me that much until I think Tom even mentioned it last week before he went to on his vacation. Like, hey, enjoy episode 100. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a thing. We got that coming up next week. So we don't have anything rad planned. I did tease some breaking news though.
You did. Yeah. I was going to bring it up, but I mean,
I did tease that. What? It's nothing fucking wild and crazy.
Pro Wrestling Podcast.
I don't lie to the listeners. I don't think any of us lie to the listeners. I think a lot of the dedicated listeners who know who we are in person and
I'm a shooter.
Yeah, that's
a shooter,
right,
brother.
You know, a tiny bit of our private lives, and I just wanted to, I guess, admit something that's been a long time coming. It probably should have been done easily a year ago, if not longer, in my world. But just some personal news when it comes to me, Scotty Villa. It happened a couple weeks ago, if I'm being honest. I was just going to keep it to myself, but I figured, you know, fucking share it with you guys, my best pals. I have canceled New Japan World.
Oh no!
It is officially done. New Japan World.
Breaking hot news. This joke is now dead.
It's over.
End of an era at episode 100.
Slate, I'm sorry. It had to be done. He's a listener of ours that brought it up to me at the last CWE show.
Yeah, money saved left and right.
Here's the thing. It's only $12 a month. It's not that bad at all. It's one of the more cheaper streaming services out there. But I had to make some cuts because I've got a lot of streaming services right now. And I started going through my email for January, getting all the receipts of like, hey, thanks. This subscription's paid for. I'm like, geez, Louise, I got to make some cuts. And New Japan was part of that.
Holy Christ.
Which comes at the worst time, if I'm being honest. Comes at the absolute worst time. Because New Japan Pro Wrestling gifted me one of the greatest gifts that you can give Scotty Villa right now in giving us a new New Japan Pro Wrestling World Heavyweight Champion, Zack Sabre Jr. Get the fuck out. We've got Goto running this place now. New World Champion of New Japan. I couldn't be happier. And if I've been honest the whole time, I'll be honest now. For $1 million, I couldn't name that wrestler who beat Zack Sabre Jr. when I saw the tweet this morning. But I was like, fuck yeah, here we go. What a great way to start a 100th episode day for the In My House podcast crew. So
yeah,
it had to be done. But I've unsubscribed from New Japan World. I've deleted the apps off of my phone and off of my Roku. So there it is. There you have it.
Man,
Mike, instant response. How are you feeling right now with this breaking news?
You know, if it could have been that you were no longer a Sami Zaniac, it probably would have broke the internet.
Probably.
Or that Cody Rhodes had somehow burned you bad enough where you could no longer be a fan of the American Nightmare. But this is big. This is a big announcement. We love to just beat a joke into the ground here at the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Anyone who reads the fun facts know we will continuously just beat that joke to death.
Yeah, we'll bury each
other. So this is sad news. I'm very sad UK Tom's not here. I'm sure he's in a luchador mask in the pool as we speak.
That's actually a great visual.
Very excited for him. Yeah. Hopefully we get a picture of that and we can post it as an episode image. Also, in the changes, big shout out to our very own Scotty V, a producer extraordinaire, world-renowned Sami Zayn fan, piece of shit. He is put in nothing but work for those fantastic new episode images you are seeing across all of your favorite podcast platforms. So a round of applause just by me. Thank you, producer Scotty Villa, for all your hard work making this podcast what it is. But enough of sucking our own dicks. Let's talk about professional wrestling.
Let's get into it. It was an interesting weekend. And one where I was like, man, what are we going to talk about? Like, Mania is still a little bit far away. I know it's road to WrestleMania right now. There's nothing.
They're on the road.
They're on the road, but there's nothing hot to get to. But those budget cuts start coming in, and we got something to talk about, pal. There was roster cuts starting on Friday, and news was starting to trickle out during SmackDown from WWE. And I would say nothing shocking, nothing huge. If it was big enough, we would have done an emergency pod, let's be honest. But those cuts started coming in. And there was a couple that I was like, oh, wow, interesting. Not sure why they did that. But, Mike, you got the list there?
I am currently doing my job and looking for it.
Okay. I mean, I've got them on my phone.
I think I've got... I mean, I wish someone just put together the concrete work. I mean, we're not a news show. Like, I'm not a Sean Ross Sapp, if you will.
And if you just go to Twitter, it's right there.
About the goings on of wrestling, but
so
I am.
I don't
if
remember.
If you got it, go for it. I'm gonna get the AEW ones.
So I believe the first one that really trickled out was Cedric Alexander had tweeted out something along the lines of, you know, here for a good time, not a long time, something like that. But that was the first, I guess, breaking one of like, oh, Cedric Alexander's getting his release. He's planning his 90 days, and there we go. We're off to it. And yeah, I didn't think
I do have the list now. Yeah.
I didn't think anything of more cuts are coming. Cedric hasn't been used in a very long time. So I figured, you know what? Maybe he'd just done enough where, all right, we're going to let you go. But more cuts started coming in, Mike.
Yes. I mean, now... none of this should be shocking. I in an era where AEW's viewership is lowering and WWE's is definitely rising, there is a ballooning roster in the World Wrestling Entertainment camp. So yes, there is going to be cuts that are made. And now, I mean, it's kind of an option too, where Japan is an option. Obviously, AEW is an option if you want to get signed. TNA is still a viable option.
TNA is a great option.
Yeah. Maple Leaf Professional Wrestling is looking for talent, probably. There is places for you to go and work. Obviously, Tom's fan favorite, GCW, is able to pull in some names. But alongside Cedric Alexander, there was the likes of Sonya Deville. Scissor. That's right. That's cut.
I mean, it's
weird if they were looking to get the Pure Fusion Collective, which is one of wrestling's worst names.
You're fucking over crap.
As like but then you would need a rivaling faction in the women's division. And I just don't think they wanted to do that. So trimming the fat there. Obviously, Sonya Deville, I don't think, has seen a lot of work. So I think out of that group, that was the one most likely to happen.
Yeah. The other two have
an
upside.
I mean, not to say you're not a great performer, but for what's needed right now, obviously, in the Fed.
Yeah.
There was nothing for you. Giovanni Vinci, I mean, that writing was on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean...
whoops.
It's wild that the rumored fuck-up that he made ended his WWE career, and it was that bad that they decided he's got to go, because he's a hell of a worker. Outside of like, he's just a jack dude, I don't think he's got a look that people go, oh, I need to watch that guy on TV. The guy can go in the ring, he can do amazing things, but there's obviously enough there that they're like, yeah, we're good without you on our roster. Enjoy your time.
Yeah, he looks like creator wrestler Scott Alexander.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah.
Just take that for what it is.
I'm sure he'll be just fine.
Isla Dawn also released.
I personally was a little bit more surprised with this one. When you've got a women's tag team division with no tag teams, and then you have her as part of a legitimate tag team with the Unholy Union, I was like, that's very odd to me, but it is what it, I guess. So
I think Isla Dawn will do well in TNA.
Yeah. I think she could be picked up.
I think that's kind of the place you want to, if you're getting released from the Fed, I think a place you want to kind of bounce into is TNA.
Yeah. The company that has a working agreement with WWE.
Yeah. I would keep close. That's
plus
for sure.
TNA, when it comes to the women's division, it's not NXT right now, but I see women in TNA when they wrestle, it's hard hitting, it's action. Naomi had great matches in TNA. I wish she would bring that style back to WWE. So I think Alba Fire would, Ursula Isla Dawn would do very, very well in TNA.
Yeah. Blair Davenport released.
That one's an interesting one to me because they called her up. They didn't do much with her. They had her in a mini feud that didn't go anywhere with Naomi when Naomi came back. And I don't know if there was injuries involved or what, but I thought she had high hopes because she came from Japan, which means you're a fucking worker. She's got a great look. She's got a British accent. So you've kind of got that full package. Just didn't work on the main roster. And even in her run in NXT it was okay. But yeah, off she goes.
The Authors of Pain and Paul Ellering have been released by the WWE.
One of the most.
And I know a lot of you are asking the who, and that is exactly right.
So for me, it's one of the wildest stories of the Authors of Pain when they originally did their run in NXT, great NXT tag team title run, called up to the main roster, become Seth Rollins' lackeys for a little bit. And then the pandemic happens and it just dies off. They get let go. Some shady shit happens while they're out on their own, where they tried to run a wrestling show. It didn't happen. They just took a bunch of money. And then they get hired back almost in like the midst of that and get put with Karrion Kross, which I was pumped for. Cool. You're doing something with Karrion. You're doing something with the Authors of Pain. Bring back Paul Ellering, who is a name. I don't think he's a big enough name for the younger generation to really get into, like, cool, he's here. Because Karrion can talk. Karrion doesn't need Paul Ellering to talk for them. So it is what it is, a package deal with those guys and the Authors of Pain. But then nothing takes off. They have their feud with the Wyatts, and then that's it. That's all they've done on the main roster. So not shocked that they're gone. I think they just need more ring work to get people to really notice them.
I mean, going through the list, I think my last one here is, of course, not new to being released by the WWE. It was the Good Brothers. That's right. Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows have been cut from the roster yet again. Already on a plane back to Japan, I imagine.
I imagine so. You had mentioned Scott D'Amore and Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling. The day that the news came out that the Good Brothers had gotten their release again, Scott D'Amore tweeted a picture of him with the Good Brothers as part of Bullet Club, which is exciting for me because
he
could bring him up to Maple Leaf Pro. We could get those guys working in Canada dates. The Good Brothers are going to work wherever they're going to get paid. They'll show up in TNA. They'll show up in AEW. They'll show up in New Japan, and they'll get themselves over as they always do. And it sucks that again, you bring them back and you do nothing with them. You do some stuff with them in NXT, but you can't put them with AJ and have them be a faction that just rolls over people. I know that's been done before, but I mean, why else are you bringing them back if you're not going to do that? So I find it just an odd hiring to bring them back and then cut them again. Fucking whatever. I'll tune in because they're super entertaining. Karl Anderson is a very, very good wrestler. Very good wrestler. So
it has been said on this show many times.
Yeah. So I'll watch his matches. I always enjoy his matches.
I'm glad they were able to collect that paycheck for as long as they have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was later announced that Electra Lopez was also part of those Friday cuts. So she's no longer part of Legado del Fantasma. She was a decent worker, but she wasn't doing much on the main roster other than walking to the ring with the guys in back. So yeah, those were your WWE cuts. But then I believe it was on Monday where we got some AEW news.
I would say the bigger of the news, like I don't think I was overly shocked with the cuts that had happened in it. It didn't seem like the biggest releases in WWE. No. I felt much different about AEW's talent cuts, and especially some of them. We'll talk about why those issues happen. But obviously the big one we're going to start with is Malakai Black is gone from AEW. His last match took place in November of 2024. So this is someone I think who writing on the wall has been there for a while of saying like, I am definitely not going to renew my contract and I'm definitely going to be out of here. Now, obviously the Twitter world, X, if you will, you blue sky folk, the internet is all a rage saying come back to the Fed. And I think when you free up space in WWE like you did to bring in a talent like Malakai Black, you could. I just don't see this close to Mania where you get Malakai Black in. It's probably a better thing to wait for until after we're done Mania season, meaning you'll probably see Malakai Black take some indie bookings and show up elsewhere, but I don't expect him to be in WWE until after Mania season myself.
It's one of the greatest disappointments in AEW, in my opinion. You have Malakai Black, Brody King, Buddy Matthews, you've got the House of Black, and they are fucking awesome. Everything about them is awesome. Their look, their work, their aggression, everything. And the fact that those guys weren't on our TVs every single week with stories is an absolute goddamn shame. I don't know what happened. I don't know if there was injuries. I don't know if there was creative issues. I don't know if there was people refusing to do jobs, which was the longest rumor, which I never bought from day one. I think Malakai Black even had to address a lot of that stuff on social media, even though he didn't want to. Whatever happened, it was one of the biggest ball droppings in this generation of wrestling. The House of Black fucking ruled.
I mean, do we want to have a whole episode dedicated to booking woes in AEW? Because, boy,
that would be a 100.
There's a lot of that.
So I'm excited to see where he goes. I'm with Mike. I don't want to see him show up in the Fed anytime between now and Mania. After Mania would be a great surprise, a great return.
Sure, or go through NXT again, but I think he's too big of a name to. Personally, I think he could be too valuable.
I think I agree. Could he go in there and become champion night one? Absolutely. I think he would expose a lot of the greenery that's happening in that company in NXT when it comes to the men's roster. It'd be great if he showed up on SmackDown, but don't bring him back unless you've got a year's worth of stories for him, in my opinion. If you don't have that, and that pretty much goes for anybody else we're going to mention in the rest of the show. If you're not going to do that, dude, go to Japan, work for a couple weeks, come back and relax. Have awesome matches in Japan and just get paid well. So, but yeah, Malakai Black, could we be seeing Aleister Black coming back? I hope so, but
maybe. But next on that list, another former WWE talent that joined the AEW roster, Miro, is no longer with AEW. Shocker, the man hasn't been at anything since World's End in 2023, so they have decided to part ways.
This one's baffling a little bit. Maybe not as baffling.
Is it baffling?
But so he gets there. He's got this gamer gimmick, which is fine. But then he gets an acting job that takes him away from AEW. And he gets a small part on a CBS show that I don't even know if it's still airing now. But AEW didn't promote it, didn't talk about it, this and that. And then he comes back. I believe Miro had a couple injuries throughout his AEW career as well. But Mike, Miro the Redeemer,
yeah, you love the Redeemer,
fucking ruled. Those promos were awesome. The matches lived up to the promos. He was a TNT champion, and when he lost the championship, the Redeemer became even more awesome, talking to his gods about why am I no longer your champion, talking as if the gods are the one that took the championship away from him. It was awesome. I loved it, but
it went nowhere.
It, like most things in AEW, went nowhere, and it's so frustrating. I would love to see the return of Rusev in WWE.
I know I can speak for Tom. He loves when we do, when he's not here. I would love also if Rusev came back. Rusev Day could get over. I think the fans now, especially now in this current climate of WWE, like they ran with it then. I think they can run with it now. You don't. You have someone in charge who is just like, "We'll listen." Like the Yeet movement was listened to.
Yes.
Like for those who want a good watch, watch the Triple H behind the scenes of Royal Rumble 2025. It's very excellent. Good. It's like 18 minutes, but that's someone who knows. And like seeing the clips of him backstage for the Yeet movement to be like, they're already doing it. Like he already knows.
Yeah.
And I think stuff like Rusev Day could really get over with the WWE audience now. Also, like most what we'll say here, I don't think Miro is going to show up anytime soon. I I just think it's a bad time for main roster talent to join when there is so much going on in Mania season. There is just too many talents. Those shows have to be damn near booked at this point. Like, yeah. WrestleMania is usually one you have locked in by this time. So, I mean, injuries can happen. Anything can happen. But I'm not expecting to see Malakai or Miro anytime soon.
That was the one thing that I was talking to a coworker about this, and it's that no company ever has to do this. But a part of me was like, damn, if WWE is doing these cuts, you could have at least done them in January. So by the time their 90 days is up, they can at least work Mania weekend on the indies and make a big splash and go make some money. Because now they're not cleared to wrestle again until mid-May. So they lose out on that Mania weekend where it's the hottest indie weekend of the year. So, yeah. But again, WWE doesn't have to think about that. They don't. It's not the way it works. But anyway.
And then finally, our last two. This is the interesting ones. Ricky Starks is no longer under contract with AEW. That hasn't been confirmed now. I know there was some humming and hawing over that situation, but no, he is no longer under contract. And obviously showing up at indie promotions. So I think Ricky Starks would be a great talent to add to the NXT roster. I that can happen at any time. I mean, I don't know what he has for a non-compete.
Well, Sean Ross Sapp is saying Miro, Ricky Starks, and Aleister Black
are
all clear. Like, they're free and clear to work wherever they want, signed with whoever they want.
That's great news. That's great news then. But I think Ricky Starks should make the move to NXT.
If he's not there already. I agree. Ricky Starks is a perfect fit for NXT.
Yeah. But I mean, it would be good buzz going into the takeovers around Mania time. So you have opportunity there. I think obviously the one people are really keeping their eye on, obviously with Penta moving over to WWE and finding great success. Yes, Rey Fénix is another one. And contractually, I know he had time added because of injury. Seems to be the thing.
Is Fénix, did he get his release?
This is just bringing up added time as of now. I don't think he is re-signed.
Oh yeah, okay. Sorry, yeah.
So, but it sounds like, I mean, obviously not being used by the promotion, that's telltale sign that, hey, if you're not going to play ball and sign this contract, like, why are we going to throw you on TV when you're not going to stick around? Safe business move. I mean, I'm not blaming AEW for that, but if someone doesn't want to be there, there's no sense in using them on their television. Obviously, Malakai Black had a similar thing happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, Miro has been doing nothing since 2023 and obviously collecting a paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at this point, I think that time comes and that injury time that is owed is done. I believe Rey Fénix will also make the jump over to WWE. Oh.
Absolutely. He's on his way as soon as he gets free and clear. He's not released as far as I just checked Sean Ross Sapp's Twitter and I didn't see anything. So
no,
he's still with AEW. Just act
time added. Yeah.
Yeah. He lost a lot of time due to injury and Tony's making him wait it out for as long as he wants, I guess, which is shitty. All promoters have done it. Vince has done it. Bischoff's done it.
So
it's whatever.
Why wouldn't you, right? Like if you put the Luchas back together, you have like the hottest going tag teams. Like they're really I bet initial thought was we want them both. Like I think when Hunter was in those talks, it was like we want both. Like we want for the tag team division. I think you guys can be very popular. And I think they'd be super popular their style. But I mean, at this point, you just kind of have to ride out your time. But yes, I do believe the Lucha Brothers will be back together in WWE.
Yeah, whenever it shows up. I remember when all the rumors started that Penta was wanting to leave and not going to resign. And it was, Rey Fénix's contract ends the same time as Penta. That was the rumor that the Lucha Bros were going to WWE. And then I would say a couple months later, it was reported that, AEW's tacking on some time. Rey Fénix can't
due to injury.
Yeah. So that's sports, man. It's just the way it is. But
I mean, that's entertainment. That's anything where you signed a contract to work and help make money for a company. I'm like I said, if there's one time I'm not throwing shade at AEW, it's in this case. Like, I mean, things aren't looking as great as they once were when you launched the promotion. So yeah, hang on to that as long as you can. But no, I would say that's one I expect to be the fastest of the moves when that contract expires.
Absolutely. I would be very surprised if it wasn't within a week that he debuts on WWE TV when that contract expires. But let us know your thoughts, if there you were surprised or where you want to see some of these talents end up, on our socials at MIOS Pod, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You'll find us there. Give us a comment, and yeah, we can read them out on next week's show. But let's get to some more current stuff happening right now. Let's get back to the Fed for a second. On Monday Night Raw this week, it was confirmed that Jey Uso has chosen Gunther for WrestleMania. It'll be Jey Uso going for the World Heavyweight Championship against Gunther in one of the nights of WrestleMania. I thought it was a touch early to announce that. You still got a good 8, 9, 10 weeks before Mania is happening. So you now you're locked into like that story. And yes. I guess I'm a little worried that by the time we get there, I'm going to be kind of burnt out of this, because we're going to get some tag team matches. We're going to get Jey Uso fighting Ludwig Kaiser at some point to defend Gunther and all that shit. I'm very curious to see how this plays out, but I'm worried that I'm going to be burnt out by the time WrestleMania comes.
As long as they keep yeeting the night away, it'll be perfect for TV. I did not watch Monday Night Raw this week. I, of course, went back to my usual viewing of the YouTube recap. It is the ultimate way to watch. This seemed like a pretty whatever episode of the Netflix era of Monday Night Raw. I think the best thing was the Jey Uso Gunther stuff. I mean, I didn't much think of much of the Punk promo. Maybe that's where I'm at too, because like I'm still excited that I have no idea. Part of me is thinking it's going to be Roman and Punk at WrestleMania, and probably not in the main event, but I am thinking that's going to be the likely road they're going to go, and that's fine. That's a match I want to watch. Wouldn't be mad at seeing that. My burning question, we're going to get through it quick because people got to get out of here, and so do we. Scotty Villa, something's been sitting with me in my gut.
What you got?
Even with injury, bear this in mind. Are WWE fucking up the Wyatt Six? Where are the Wyatt Six? You had a great rollout again. You another did. Dynamite rollout to this brooding faction. And boy, did that just go away.
Yeah. When you debut with basically murder in the back.
That's right.
That's your debut. You've set the bar. So it has been underwhelming. I'm a big fan of the codes and the promos. I think they're all great. I'm even a fan of the work that I've seen in the ring, but okay, we got through the feud with the Final Testament and people lost their jobs after. I believe there's an injury right now and we haven't seen him since the Final Testament thing, which has been a month, maybe more than a month kind of thing. Man, it's dropping the ball. We got Alexa Bliss back and we got a Wyatt teaser, the TV glitching during her match on SmackDown last week. So they're starting to ramp things back up. It can't be a slow ramp up again. You've got to get back and put the pedal to the metal.
Do you feel like they are going to get lost in the mid card and always kind of be relevant because of the Bray legacy?
Yeah,
as long as the Fireflies can come out, it's almost warranted to have it, right? Like, I'm looking at it from that production side, maybe not necessarily like talent, but I think it's always a great visual at shows. I'm disappointed because in order for that to go over, you have to have factions to do it. I just don't think WWE has the factions that make sense. It's nice Alexa Bliss is back. I think Alexa Bliss should distance from the Wyatt Six personally and be just a single star in that women's division. It's hard to say. I'll eagerly be anticipating their return whenever that happens to see how that rolls out. But it was something that was sitting with me where I'm like, man, like this hurts talent. Like if they told us in those releases, like we've released all of the Wyatt Six, I'd be like, yeah, sure.
For me, you're right. There's no faction for them to go after. In my mind, if you got a faction, there's not factions to go after. You need to go after championships. That's wrestling. So yep. Have your two biggest guys go after the tag titles, have another guy go after a mid-card title. Yeah, you've got Nikki Cross and maybe Alexa Bliss. You can go after the women's tag titles or one of the women's mid-card titles. You can do that. You can run roughshod and be scary as hell going after the thing that matters most to these wrestlers, which is their championships. if you're not going to do that and we're just getting a bunch of spooky stuff for the sake of spooky stuff, then you do something really cool at Halloween, you're just losing me. So I'm not holding my breath with excitement for the Wyatt Six anymore. I will be intrigued if we see some cool shit, but you've kind of got to bring it back to the world of pro wrestling. And you haven't done a good job of that. So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, good luck. Let us know, as always, on the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast socials, to be found on Instagram, Twitter. I believe there's a blue sky. Is there a blue sky?
There is a blue sky.
Perfect. I'm on this show.
And in my house. Give us a follow over there on Blue Sky. It's a very positive place.
Yeah, very positive. Nothing like this show. But a big, big thank you to one Scotty V, a producer extraordinaire, for all of his hard work. And, of course, you, the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Without you, this show would not be possible. So thank you for 100 great episodes. And here is to 100 more. This has been the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Oh, you fucking bitch. Welcome to my house. Play that music too loud. Show me what you do now. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house. It's my house. Yowie wowie.